You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Right. So
what does that mean?
Well, my sense is that, yes, the Lord gives us some clear direction in the Bible. Right. That's the science part of it. But the art is, how are you going to apply that on a daily basis with your children? In other words, you want them to grow in the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord, but you don't want to provoke them to anger. And so there's a certain line there that you're treading with them. You want to continue to encourage them and inspire them. And yet, any child knows that if my dad just keeps hounding me about the Bible and hounding me about church, and I think to some extent, many dads, and I would say moms, have, in essence, have backed off from being very proactive with their children in terms of raising them in the faith, because they're concerned that their children, they're going to turn off their children from the faith.
And what I've been told is because they want to be friends with their children, you can't be friends with your children. They need an adult. They need someone to draw the line, the boundaries.
Yeah, and I'll give you one example. Like right now, we know that sports for children in America is huge.
Yeah.
Like they have all kinds of sports opportunities, whether it's gymnastics or soccer or baseball or football. Fill in the blank. I mean, there's just almost countless opportunities for kids to be involved in athletics. And of course, on the surface of it, and in reality, athletics is a very positive and healthy thing.
You learn
for
teamwork,
kids to be involved in.
You're not. There's no I in team.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
Wow.
When does church meet? Church meets, generally speaking, on Sunday morning.
Hmm.
Guess when a lot of the kids' athletic contests and everything take place. They happen a lot of times on Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Well, they shouldn't happen on Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons, but they shouldn't conflict with, in our very town here, we have the most famous pitcher of all times. Who is the Jewish guy who was, he wouldn't play the Yom Kippur, and they won the series for the Dodgers.
Oh, is that Sandy Koufax?
Yeah, Sandy Koufax. He lives here, you know.
How about that? Well, I knew he lived in here, and I had a sense, I thought I knew that he was Jewish, but I never heard the story about him saying, I won't play on Yom Kippur.
That's right. That's why he became, when my friend Howie Schaefer came down, and a Jewish kid that became my friend, you know, one in our early 20s, and taught me the ins and outs of the advertising business. So Howie comes down here, and I happened to meet with a famous author that day. And then I happened to meet with a famous congressman. Remember the congressman who won the he had been a runner in the Olympics and won from running? Yep. Now, here's the true
story. Eric Little.
Nope, that's not Eric Little. It's another one. I forget his name. But anyway, he used to wet his bed. And let this be for people. This is a private matter. But he lets it out. He wet his bed. So he would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, gather his sheets, and run to the laundromat and bring them back so he wouldn't be embarrassed in front of his own family.
Okay.
Well, at 18 or 19, he won the Olympics. And it's quite a story. Then later on, he became a congressman. But anyway, so he was in town that day. The famous author, Debbie Maycomer, was there. We're up at JI having lunch with a group of people. And then we go to the Ocean Grill that night, and there's Sandy Koufax. Well, of course, my friend Howie, he goes up to Sandy Koufax. We're standing there talking to him, and he goes, you're in my children's, in the history books of the Jews, you know, that you wouldn't play Yom Kippur and still won the World Series, you know, that one day wouldn't play. And whatever it was, whatever the situation, I forget. And then Howie looks at me later on over the table at Ocean Grill and goes, is every day like this for you? I wish it were.
Yeah.
But here is the man who is really considered probably the greatest pitcher of all history, but he put God above self.
Right. Yeah. And this is kind
of— Look at Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Look at that guy.
Right.
You should hear the miraculous stories of this guy.
Yeah. My point is, you know, you got the rise of the nuns, and now it's plateaued off. And I can see—
N-O-N-E-S.
And you had, when we were raising our children, there was great pressure because— some of our kids were really good athletes,
mm-hmm.
and I went to the coach and I said, listen, really, really would love to have Nate play on your team, but we want you to know that Sunday mornings are dedicated to church, right? And so we laid that out as a boundary line early on. Well, guess what? Well, we've been accepted into this tournament this weekend. You know, this happened in just a number of weeks later, and said, and we're all going to go up on Saturday. We're going to stay over on Saturday night, and we're going to play all day on Sunday. And I'm like, wait, no. Remember we had this conversation. I'm sorry, but Nate can't play in the tournament. And the coach was like, what? What are you talking about? You know, and so, but that was, and do you think Nate wanted to play in that tournament?
Sure he did.
You better believe he wanted to play
did
in that
let
tournament.
Did you let him go or no?
No.
No.
No, because we had set that as a standard.
You set it. Yes. But are you hearing me, coach?
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said?
Right.
He's not going to play Sundays.
But that was costly. And in the back of our minds, we wondered, oh, if we make this, is Nate going to walk away with a bad, bitter taste in his mouth about church?
Did dad oppress me?
And about my father because he didn't let me play.
Or did you say, Nate, this can be your decision too?
Actually, no, we made that decision for
him.
How
old was he at the time?
I want to say he was 10, 11, 12,
well,
something like that.
He's still under the authority of his parents.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but these are the kinds of tough decisions that parents need to make. And my own sense is, I think parents, many, many parents, probably too many parents, have chosen to let their children play in these athletic tournaments on weekends at the risk of they don't want to turn them off or embitter them towards God, or they don't want to embitter them towards their parents. And as a result, we've seen many, many young people. Basically, it says that, you know,
when the young people what?
Between 15 and 25,
yeah.
Basically, even if they've grown up in the church, it's what? During that age frame that they walk away.
Well, the Amish and even the Mennonites, they don't want to be too severe. So I think it's at either 17 or 18, they're allowed to leave. As a matter of fact, they push them off the nest. Mm-hmm. Go out and live in the world.
Right.
If we've done our job, you'll come back here and want to be part of this, you know, our group, group here. And but if you don't, then that's it. You know, they, which is very smart because you wanted to do it. It's like somebody who's addicted. You can't demand somebody stop drinking alcohol. They've got to come to their bottom and come to terms where they want. You cannot make somebody, no matter what, you know, heal of things like that.
But a lot of times we've sent our children off to college at age 18.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the whole educational establishment has turned away from God. Yeah. And if our kids have been off playing soccer games on Sundays, you know, and not in church, and they have no foundation, right? And then they go off to college, and guess what? They fall away.
That's what I told somebody else. I said, are you reading the Bible? Well, I said, do me a favor. Would you just read one sentence every day? Could you commit to that one sentence?
Yeah.
Because I said in 30 days, you'll have 30 sentences. And in 10 months, you'll have read 300 sentences.
Yeah.
I said, even if it's just one, and I think probably if somebody starts to read one sentence, it's going to grow. Because if you don't have that foundation, somebody could tell you, well, Jesus said you're all supposed to wear green shirts with blue stripes. We are? Okay. And so he said, that's not in there. God gave me a brain, and he doesn't want me to throw it out in the name of Jesus. He gave me a brain and intuition to listen to him because he is the ultimate teacher, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you need some godly resources, right? In other words, he needs something to work with. Like you said, if you're reading the Bible, even one verse a day, then he can work with that. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you, and now you have a second resource. You not only have the Word of God, but now you have the Holy Spirit who can guide you. But you really need a third resource, which is the resource of the church, the body of Christ, people who are going to help you grow and hold you accountable, and you'll continue to grow through the ministry of the church.
Got to pluck those nuns back in, you know?
Yeah, or draw them back in. And I think that the great movement of God is happening. They're coming back. But we want to continue to pray for those nuns to come back.
Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And here you are, an Anglican guy, a pastor. And, you know, as I said, we've known each other, 23, 24 years, whatever. It might even be more than that. And yet we had a perfunctory relationship. I kept it that way because I thought, the pageantry and the stuff like the Catholic Church, the Anglicans, and so I categorized it. And, of course, I didn't like the defined thing. But then later
you were kind of like a nun.
Yeah, I was an N-O-N-E, yes, a nun, and not being a follower of men and stuff. And then later on realizing that, there's guys like you out there that do believe in the power of the Spirit. And there are some non-denominational churches that don't really, God can heal if he wants to. Well, folks, I'm sorry, but read your Bible. What does it say in the Bible? It didn't end. There is no cessation.
Right.
Okay, that's a bunch of bunk. But men don't like that which they cannot control. No, this is the beginning. Now, we'll divide the Word of God, but that other stuff, you can do it on the side, you know.
Love our Bible-believing evangelical brothers and sisters and the non-denominational folks. We love them, and we bless them.
Yeah, but that's one thing I like about the Jews is, and I've had many Jewish friends, of course, and they've had a major influence in my life, and that is this, that the Jews will tell you the only stupid question is the question that's not asked. So you're almost allowed in certain situations to really speak up to the rabbi. Imagine if our goyim churches, or what do you want to call us, the non-Jewish churches, but the really all Jewish
Gentile.
Churches. Yeah, the Gentile churches. But Jesus was a Jew, so really we're all engrafted in Jews.
Right.
But should we be able to raise our hand and say, go into a little deeper on that, expound on that, what you just said or something, or what does this word mean or something, maybe making things more fluid, not so stilted at times in teaching situations. Now, there is another situation, of course, where there's reverence, like I've been going to non-denominational churches for 29 years, and we're having a big hallelujah party. Well, now of late I go, okay, well, we've been singing about I did this, and I, me, mine, and now it's like, wait a minute, aren't we going to step into real worship,
Transcendence.
Majesty, worship your majesty, exalting him.
Right.
I just challenge everybody to listen to the songs you're singing. Are they I, me, mine, me, I, mine, or are they about the Lord? Exalt thee, O Lord. So anyway, we've been talking with Pastor John Robbins. Thanks for coming in here. And he's with the Anglican Church on the Beach. The name of it is St. Paul's. It's at 999 Flame Vine. They have a healing service at 11 o'clock on Thursdays, Sunday, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 10 a.m., excuse me. I wish it was 11 a.m.
Okay. Get a little more sleep.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day. If you choose it to be, you have free will. What will you do with that free will? I'm Rhett Palmer. Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Around Town Magazine, celebrating 48 years. On the cover, PLM Construction, Patsy Meltzer, owner, builder, 50 years building homes with a heart. On the back cover, Jim Research Institute, Mark Goldstein, MD, working to end Alzheimer's disease. Florida Lifestyle with Spirit of Sebastian, Ryan Homes, Holiday Builders, Senior Living, Aviva, Independent Living, and Hidden Lakes with the future in medicine and healthcare. Theater, art, museums, travel, attractions, dining, bon appetit. Around Town Magazine is power-packed. Copies are now available.